Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
I read a little article this morning on a spaceship flying up to the International Space Station. The International Space Station's up there going around and around the Earth. It's been up there for a while. Well, they had to change out some of the crew members. So they got three new astronauts going up to the space station. And as I was reading this article, it said they're getting a new commander, right? So one of the three new astronauts is going to take over command of the space station. And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder how many astronauts are on that space station, you know, five or six or something. But somebody has to be in charge, right? Somebody has to be in charge. So who's in charge of your life? Who is in charge of you? Today, we celebrate Jesus under his title, Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. Now, there are many competing voices for that lordship over our life. In the church calendar, on the church calendar, we have feast days or festivals that we celebrate. And today, the name of today is Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. A couple weeks ago, we had All Saints Day, right? And the Mass will take on the theme of those readings, that idea. And these things come and go in our church calendar over the centuries as a different emphasis are made. And this day, Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, as the last Sunday in ordinary time, is relatively new. It was begun in the 1920s. Now, what was happening in the world in the 1920s? That is a history quiz for you. What was the big political movement that seemed to be taking over the world and threatening Europe in the 1920s? It was really communism and National Socialism, those things. And they were atheistic movements, and they denied Christ. And the Pope came out and he said, every Catholic, every Christian, as far as we can influence them, is going to dedicate themselves to Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. That he's our King. Now, who is your King? Who is the ultimate authority in your life? Some of you are thinking, my wife, you know. But that shouldn't be, okay? It should be Christ the King, right? Christ the King. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama, not Hillary Clinton, not John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, but who is our King? Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. Jesus came to establish a kingdom. We will pray in the Our Father for the coming of that kingdom. Now, the kingdom has ushered into the world, but it's not complete. We're still a pilgrim church away from home. We're still struggling in this kind of desert away from the fullness of the kingdom coming. This notion of the kingdom, it is on Jesus' mind constantly. And so I'm going to give you a few little lines if I can remember them. The first words of Jesus' public preaching in the Gospel of Mark. The first words of Jesus' public preaching in the Gospel of Mark were, repent the, is at hand. The what? Repent, the kingdom is at hand. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Over and over again, everywhere you turn, on every page of the gospel, in every paragraph of the gospel, when we begin to listen to it, we see Jesus focusing on this notion that he's bringing a kingdom. And who's the king? He's the king. And what kind of king do we have? What is the nature of his kingship? What is the nature of his kingship? Let me ask you this. It's a little easier question. What kind of crown does our king wear? Crown of thorns. What does his throne look like? His throne looks like a cross. And what is his final act in his establishing or bringing in the kingdom? As he hangs on the cross, he looks out at the crowd as king of the universe, because he was always king of the universe. That was the point of the second reading tonight, that he created all that is, that all that is and all that ever will be was created through Christ Jesus. He is the firstborn. He is king. He doesn't have to become king. He is king. And he comes to this earth, to our place. And this is the kind of king that we have. A king that comes not to send his subjects, a king that doesn't come to send his peons out into the world to die for him. He's a king that does what? That comes to take our sins and punishment on himself. That's our king. He's a pretty good king. He's the good shepherd. He's the savior. He's the redeemer. He's the Lord of lords. He's the king of kings. He is consubstantial with the Father. Now, getting back to our sign over his head over here, as he is on his throne with his crown, and we have the sign over his head, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Now that sign, it's interesting, tonight we read Luke's gospel, and in Luke's account it says this exactly, and I quote, "Above him there was an inscription that read, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" Now, that explanation of what the inscription is, it's not only in the Gospel of Luke. You know, we have the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. Well, that is recorded for us in the other Gospels as well, but it's recorded slightly differently in the other ones. And you say, well, Father Mike, I mean, come on, how could it be different in the different Gospels? You know, it's the Word of God and all. What did it actually say? Well, it was written in three languages. It was written in three languages, so anybody that could read it or that could read would be able to read what it said. And so Pontius Pilate, perhaps unwittingly, perhaps not knowing what he was doing, was the first real evangelist writing the message of the gospel. And he wrote it in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Now we have the Latin initials over his head over there, not the Greek and the Hebrew. But nonetheless, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. And now we go back to that scene, my brothers and sisters, because I'm trying to convince you tonight to make a very personal, a very individual decision to make Jesus the king of your life. Not the Constitution of the United States, not the Supreme Court, not the local jurisdiction, but Jesus is king. Jesus is king. And we bend our knees in worship of this king. We allow ourselves to be subjects in this kingdom. And we go back to the scene on the cross where our king is in the middle and he's got his crown of thorns and he has two people being crucified, one on either side. You see the scene? And one of them says to him, "Are you not the Christ? Save us." You could almost hear him spitting it out. "Aren't you somebody? Aren't you the king? Do something." Anybody here ever talk to Jesus that way? Come on, Lord. Can't you fix this? What's going on here? Aren't you in charge? Isn't it your universe? Am I the only one that's ever prayed that way? God, what's going on here? How is it this way? Aren't you the king? And so we come back to, what kind of crown does our king have? A crown of gold? A palace? No. Jesus is a king on a cross that's his throne. And his command to his subjects is, pick up your cross and follow me. My brothers and sisters, we're not home. Yes, the kingdom has come, and Jesus Christ is our King. And if we live our lives in union with Jesus Christ, if we dedicate ourselves to Christ, if we subject ourselves to the authority of Jesus, we should expect a certain joy and peace. We should expect a kind of consolation and understanding. We should expect the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be present in us. But should we expect everything to be rosy? No, this is the whole message of these two thieves. We have the good thief and we have the bad thief. And the bad thief says to the king, and he really is the king, can't you do something? Aren't you powerless? What's wrong with you? And that's kind of the world's attitude toward God now. So much of the world blames the problems in the world on God, as opposed to seeing Jesus as the source of mercy for a broken world. And so then we have the good thief, right? And the good thief, they're suffering in this broken world that Jesus comes to conquer through mercy. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me. Help me. Yeah. Indeed, we have been condemned justly. Indeed, we are sinners. And the sentence we have received corresponds to our crimes. But this man is innocent. Our king is innocent, but he suffers for our sins. That's the king that we have, brothers and sisters. It's a good king. I pray you tonight, truly rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, King of the universe, and let him be Lord and Master. You know, many competing voices, many people who want to subvert and undermine the lordship of your life. But today we are reminded by the liturgy of the church, Jesus Christ is King. He's my King. He's our King. He is the King of the universe.